From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Sunnyvale, California.
Oakland, California.
Oakland, California.
North Oakland.
North Oakland.
North Berkeley.
South Berkeley.
Adams Point.
Yosemite.
Coming up, students at a San Francisco school recover from an on-campus shooting that happened yesterday.
The weapon that we do have to fight, it ain't a gun. It ain't a Snapchat. It ain't affecting Facebook, it is love.
Then, will San Francisco's Prop Q make homeless encampments disappear?
A lot of people are going to run to the polls and vote because I don't like tent encampments.
We'll tell you what the measure's really about and protecting the pets of people without homes.
Keeping him safe and healthy helped keep me safe and healthy. It gave me motivation to not give up.
Hope and homelessness. Today on Cross Currents, stay with us. Students return today to June Jordan School for Equity, a small public high school in San Francisco, a day after four students were shot in the parking lot. It's believed that one of the teenagers was the target of the attack. At least one went through surgery, and they're all expected to be all right. Around noon today, the student body, faculty, and staff came together in the courtyard to support each other. KALW's Ben Trefney was there to record it.
So I know we're feeling a lot of different things, and a lot of people in our hearts, in our minds, in our hearts. And so in this space, in the way of the African, we want to say those names out. So if there's a name on your heart, on your mind, say it out. And after someone says it, we're all gonna say Ashe.
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 Theo.
Ashe.
It's a lot of emotions that's tied into it, and it's a lot of, I couldn't hold my feelings together to come here and be strong for people. And I came here today, and I wanted to make it a point that I care about everybody here in this community, and I would never want anything to happen to any of y'all. Like, it don't matter. Like, we could have, like, arguments. It don't matter. But everybody's life here matters. It don't matter. Like, what skin color you are, your life matters.
Ashe. Ashe. Ashe.
Edward.
Ashe.
And what oppression does ultimately, when oppression is working the way that the people who run this country want it to work, is when we turn on each other. When young men turn on women, when quote unquote straight people turn on queer people, and when young brothers turn on other young brothers, or young sisters turn on other young sisters. That's when oppression works. But it doesn't work if we don't allow it to work. Right, it doesn't work if we don't allow it to work.
Those were the voices of Wisdom Cole, Julio Soro, and Mariana Baines, and others from the June Jordan School for Equity. They're recovering from an on-campus shooting that happened yesterday. And a note, KALW's license is held by the San Francisco Unified School District. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Many San Francisco residents are frustrated with the city's homelessness problem. Earlier this week, protesters took to the street in tents to show their disapproval. KALW's Carrie Spivak has more.
It's 8:30 on Monday morning, but instead of taking her three-year-old son to preschool, Janine Jacob and her son Jasper are setting up a tent on the sidewalk in front of City Hall.
I got one! I got one!
You got one? Oh, cool! Oh, we got the same one!
As City Hall employees walk past on their way to work, five tents take shape. As part of a protest Jacob organized called #CivicDisgrace.
Today we are planning on having a tent in, which is like a sit-in, but with tents, to express our upset at the city's inaction or slowness of action to helping the homeless.
Jacob lives on Potrero Avenue near a homeless encampment. When she walks with Jasper into the mission, she passes another encampment.
I've lived here for 20 years, and I have just had enough of this neglect. It's on us, all of the city.
Around 11 o'clock, eight tents stand in a neat line next to the City Hall steps. Lucy Ferry Jones is sitting in one of them. She's one of a handful of people who learned about the protest from social media. Most of them are parents.
Honestly, this is one of the reasons why I'm here, is I just got sick of myself hearing myself trying to justify it. Like, oh yeah, these people, they don't have a home. And my kids would say, well, that's crazy. You know, why do they have to live on the streets? And, you know, not being able to come up with a credible answer has been one of the reasons why I decided to do this.
The protesters were hoping the tent-in would start a dialogue with Mayor Ed Lee and his staff, and it worked. Jeff Kaczynski is the director of the city's first Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing, and he came out to talk with the protesters.
What do you need from the city, like from the people who live here?
Well, right now, I mean, what we need is, you know, additional resources to open up these new shelters and new navigation centers. It's not just about finding the space. We also need the funding to do it.
Janine Jacob told him she wants immediate action to give homeless people a place to live. Kaczynski said the city's in a mess because for the past 30 years, federal, state, and local policies haven't worked together, and it'll take time to sort out.
We're not going to be able to solve it overnight.
They talked for about 20 minutes. Then he went back inside City Hall for a meeting, and the protesters sat back down on the sidewalk. By 2 o'clock, the protesters took down their tents and went back to their regular lives. But for one day anyway, they had the city's ear. Lucy Ferry Jones says it's a good start.
I don't know what effect this will have, but I certainly feel better already having done something.
In San Francisco, I'm Carrie Spivak for Cross Currents.
One response to the tent encampments lining San Francisco streets is Proposition Q on the San Francisco ballot this election day. The measure's author, Supervisor Mark Farrell, calls it homes, not tents. Voters will have a chance to change one of the city's homeless policies, but KLW's housing and homelessness reporter Liza Veal says the proposed rules aren't drastically different from the current ones. She says this battle is all about context. Here's Liza.
People living on San Francisco streets know that if you keep your belongings real tidy, they might not get hauled off during street cleaning by DPW, the Department of Public Works.
It should probably be a little neater, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's what I'm doing. We got a tent and we'll consolidate.
That's what you're trying to do right now.
Yeah.
Erin Bechtold's been living on the streets for about 3 years. She says she can't tell what the city's official tent rules are right now because DPW is so inconsistent. It varies from worker to worker. She says some are decent and respectful, but
mostly you get the, hey, Joe, you want to see him dance? You have 3 minutes to get all your stuff before we throw it in the garbage. That's pretty much how it goes.
DPW can do this when it chooses to because encampments are illegal already. They violate a bunch of rules like sit-lie ordinances, rules against blocking the sidewalks, and rules about sanitation and nuisances. This proposition just makes tents specifically illegal. It makes the most sense to think of Prop Q as a doubling down against the alternative, which is legalizing tent encampments. Max Johnson thinks that's a bad idea. He's a woodworker at a shop down the block. He and his boss showed up to City Hall when there was a meeting about cleaning up the encampments. He says the place was so packed.
We didn't really actually get to get inside and watch. We were trying to like speak, but apparently a lot of people feel pretty passionate about the situation. I mean, I'm all for helping the homeless, but it seems to me like more programs to get people off drugs and help them get back on their feet rather than just give them shacks that they can sell more drugs out of.
Shacks, meaning tents.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like allowing it obviously is, you know, condoning what's going on.
It's a top issue for San Franciscans. At a Board of Supervisors meeting earlier this year, Progressive Supervisor John Avalos said, as long as there are tent encampments, we should improve conditions for people living in them.
We should be able, as a city, provide sanitation services to deal with garbage, as well as facilities for people for showering and for using the restrooms. That is something that we should be able to provide so we can actually avoid the kind of public health issues that have arisen in recent months here in San Francisco.
People are fools if they don't think that that would encourage more people to come to San Francisco.
Moderate Supervisor Mark Farrell took the opposite approach. That's Prop Q. It says the city can remove tent encampments as long as it gives a day's warning in writing and has shelter to relocate people to.
Look, Proposition Q was a policy response to the ideas of some of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors that I thought would take the city in absolutely the wrong direction.
Instead of working on improving the conditions at the encampments, Farrell wants to disband them and invest in a program called Homeward Bound. It's where the city buys you a bus ticket elsewhere if someone on the other end agrees to take you in. Last year, 880 people utilized the program at a cost of just over $1 million. But remember, the rules of Prop Q are anyone that doesn't take the city up on a bus ticket, they can't be moved unless there's somewhere for them to go. Joe Eskenazi has covered politics here for over 15 years. Today, he writes for San Francisco Magazine. And he thinks people who are hoping Prop Q will ban tents will be disappointed.
A lot of people are going to run to the polls and vote because I don't like tent encampments. If you read the fine print, though, of course, you know, you're not allowed to roust them unless you have housing, and you don't have housing, and that's in the law. So, you know, with all due respect to Mark, I feel we are being motivated like cats with a laser pointer to run and vote on an issue that appeals to you.
If anything, Eskenazi says there's an added protection for people in tents. Under Prop Q, they'd at least get a day's notice before a sweep. But bottom line is, until there's enough housing, there will be people on the street. And Eskenazi says supplying housing for everyone, that's a long shot.
You know, folks in the city are very upfront with me that without federal and or state help, this won't happen. We can't do it.
In order to house everyone, San Francisco would have to more than double its spending. Right now, every year, the city spends roughly $100 million on shelter and services for unhoused people. It spends another $120 million to permanently house thousands of people that have been transitioned out of homelessness. 80% of all that spending comes from the city. The rest is state and federal money. And there are some taxes on the local ballot this year that would raise a bit more money for these services. Those are Propositions J, K, and S. If they pass, a lot of the money they raise will go towards the city's main strategy, which is developing more navigation centers. The new head of the city's homeless department, Jeff Kozitsky, calls navigation centers shelters as they should be, meaning low barrier to entry, high level of services, and connected to permanent housing. But again, when permanent housing is full, navigation centers can't fully do their job. Lots of people are working to make tent encampments a thing of the past. But meanwhile, people are going on living in them. So some San Franciscans, like housing organizer Amy Farrell Weiss, think the conditions and encampments need to be improved now for the residents and neighbors. Farrell Weiss is working to improve one encampment in particular, Box City.
I'm working with the surrounding community to figure out what are the pain points, what are the deal breakers, and then working with the residents to figure out, well, what do you need here in order to be successful and be in transition?
Box City is next to the Caltrain tracks near Mission Bay. The residents here don't live in tents. They live in boxes about the size of a double bed. There's about 20 of them out here, housing people like Ringer Noble.
The boxes are made of wood, and they're like homes for us.
And then you paint them?
Yeah, we paint them, build them, and make our own little house.
Noble says another Box City resident taught him how to build the house with scrap wood he found. They're on wheels, so they can be moved for street cleaning. And the boxes lock.
So people can sleep without fear of being harassed or robbed.
Amy Farrell Weiss is working to bring the services of the shelter to the encampment. She's got a porta potty out here. This is the first encampment to get one. She got them extra trash cans. She hopes to even get caseworkers assigned.
There needs to be support to connect people to services where they are at.
In other words, she represents the kind of approach that some supervisors want and other supervisors don't. Sam Dodge, with the homeless department, says they're figuring out how to best work with Box City, but they haven't officially allowed it. Dodge says cities that have experimented with legalizing encampments, like Seattle and Portland, haven't had good results with transitioning people out of them. And without the city's full support, Amy Farrell Weiss says there's still conflict.
I got a call from one of the residents at around 7 o'clock saying, Amy, you know, 13 DPW trucks came out here and they were saying that we had to move.
They were able to negotiate and stay, for now. But if Prop Q passes, these boxes, like tents, will be explicitly illegal. And if the city bulks up its supply of housing and shelter, that's a ban that DPW will be able to enforce. Without the shelter, though, we may just keep seeing people on the streets asked to get up and move with nothing to move for. Kind of like what Eskenazi said about the voters, treated like cats with a laser pointer. In San Francisco, I'm Liza Veal.
Liza Veal is KALW's housing and homelessness reporter. If you've got a housing story, email her at housing@kalw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. There's a lot of debate about how to manage people's property when they're living on the streets. Well, what happens when someone's most prized possession is living and breathing? One San Jose shelter has started opening its doors to homeless people and their pets, and it hosts a monthly free veterinary clinic in partnership with the city's Animal Care Center. Reporter Leslie Griffey has the story.
Calm down. You're getting your ear medicine working up.
Jeb Brooks is patting the head of his fawn-colored pit bull, Ragsy.
Well, we hang out in Oakland a lot, which is quite a ways away, but because I wanted him to get some shots, because I don't know what he's had, and now he's got everything, so.
Brooks and Ragsy made it all the way to an industrial area south of central San Jose, where the Home First shelter offers beds for people and pets, along with a makeshift vet clinic.
There's pet turf back there that is a safe place. And these are beautiful kennels. They look like little pavilions.
Stephanie Demos is the chief development officer at Home First. She's showing me what was once a covered patio at the shelter. Now the area has several 5-foot-tall dog crates, a patch of fake grass, and the temporary vet clinic. Converting it to a kennel makes a huge difference for homeless people. It means they don't have to abandon their dogs or leave them in an encampment to have a meal, meet with a social worker, or use the shower.
There were more than 60 people who died homeless last year in our area, and many of them had pets. And when the cold weather approaches, which it's about to be here, the pets are in as much danger as their owners are for survival. And so this is a real rescue effort. This is an effort to be sure that the animals, which are sometimes their only family, are kept safe.
Ramon Johnson and his dog Navarro spent last year on the streets in San Jose searching for housing.
We've been together. Navarro stopped that. Navarro is a small Pomeranian mix, very good-looking dog. He thinks the whole world's his friend. He's also a great ambassador for me. When I'm out in public, you know, I'm a tall, intimidating black man with a loud voice. And, you know, some people would cross the street to avoid me or whatever. But with Navarro, people greet me with a smile everywhere I go. Keeping him safe and healthy helped keep me safe and healthy. It gave me motivation to not give up and give in, which would be so easy to do, or to succumb to drugs and alcohol to blot out the pain. I had to stay grounded, I had to stay focused, because Navarro deserved better.
Johnson and Navarro hung in there until they got off the streets and into a place this year. But Johnson and Navarro still need support, and that's where the free vet care here is helpful. Stanford student Andy Meslin helped set up the clinic at the shelter through a Stanford fellowship. For the first clinic, she brought lots of veterinary supplies from the San Jose Animal Care Center, but it was pet supplies, like beds and collars, that were in demand.
One thing that I did notice was that when we got down to like the last dog bed or the last crate of food, was that people didn't want to take the last of something, you know? So I think it was this mentality of like, oh, if someone needs it more than I do, I want them to have it.
The clinic doesn't just feel like a good thing to do. It's important to the health of the whole community.
All of these dogs are outside a lot of the time or, you know, in these encampments. And so just from like a public health perspective, it's really important to have everyone in a community vaccinated. So, you know, if 99% of your dog population is vaccinated and only 1% isn't, the incidence of disease goes way, way, way down.
Mr. and Mrs. Soto didn't want to give their names. They live on the streets near the SAP Center. At the clinic, they hold their Chihuahua Reese close.
Oh, she's a peanut butter cup. That's why her name is Reese, because she's lots of chocolate with a hint of peanut butter. She's part of the family. We're exceptionally close to her because of our living situation right now. So she serves not only as a loving companion, but a guard dog. You know, we know when somebody's around, you know, whatnot.
It's the same way for many others. Pets are more than just animals. They're part of what makes people feel whole. Providing for pets is one part of what's needed to help people take care of themselves. In San Jose, I'm Leslie Griffey for Cross Currents.
The monthly free veterinary clinic in San Jose takes place the last Saturday of each month. Find more information at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. And that's all for today. The team includes Leela Day, Angela Johnston, Olivia Henry, Jeremy Jew, Ted Muldoon, Lisa Morehouse, James Rollins, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, and Andrew Stelzer. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by The Ives Collective. They specialize in, quote, performances that venture beyond the familiar. The Ives Collective has a performance Sunday at the Old First Church on Sacramento Street in San Francisco. Music starts at 4 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.